That said, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. We're going to read one verse, verse 16. And then we're going to just turn over to the next book, 1 John. We're going to read out of the second chapter of 1 John, we're going to read two verses, verses 26 and 27. And the title of our message this morning is Resonance. And I'll give you the definition of resonance after we read these two portions of the Word of God. I think most of you know what resonance means. The word resonance means, but I want to be clear on that. But let's read these verses of Scripture. 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. Peter's writing here about Scripture and how it's used and misused. And in this verse, he happens to mention something about some of the writings of the Apostle Paul. And I picked just this verse because the focal point of the message is in this verse. And so he says, as also in all his epistles, and talking about Paul there, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now in this, Peter was explaining how we're supposed to view the workings of the Lord and the Word of God about the Lord's workings. And he just happens to say in verse 16 that the Apostle Paul says some things in his writings that are hard to be understood. And then he also points out that these hard to be understood sayings or writings of Brother Paul are often twisted out of shape by the unlearned, that is the spiritually unlearned. They're twisted out of shape and they twist them toward their own destruction. Now in 1 John chapter 2, we want to read verses 26 and 27. And the Apostle John says this to the people of God. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, these two verses might seem to be jerked right out and detached from the rest of John's writings, but they're not, because I want you to notice that he is writing this book, this letter to believers about people who attempt to seduce the people of God about what the Lord's Word says. And I want you to connect Peter's writing with this for just a moment and realize that if there's somebody trying to seduce you away from the real truth of God, what the Scripture really means, that person is somebody who has twisted or wrested, as Peter puts it, Scriptures to fit their view of things, and they have twisted it to their own destruction. These are the same people, brothers and sisters. Those who teach heresy, those who hold heresy forth to be taught, are those that attempt to seduce the people of God, and they are those that Peter writes about as being those who have rested, as they do also other scriptures, not just Paul's scriptures, but other scriptures, to their own destruction. Now, I said I would let you know what resonate means, and as we go through this message, I hope you'll see why we use the title resonance for our message, and we'll get to that on down in it. But just keep in mind, resonance is to relate harmoniously. Resonance is to strike a chord, like strike a chord in your heart. And I hope that my message this morning will resonate with true believers concerning the Word of God. Now, but these two parts of Scripture that we've read to you, we ought to be alerted that the Bible is going to always be a controversial book. There's no doubt whatsoever about it. Now, this is true because human beings as God's creatures are religious creatures, but they're also worldly-minded creatures in their natural state. And after all, what Brother Paul and Peter and Brother John are talking about is people that are in their natural state taking the Scripture of God and twisting it out of shape, out of context, out of meaning to get the interpretation they want. Those people are natural people. They're lost and undone. They're without the knowledge of the truth, and they twist the words of God to fit what they feel like is doctrine that should be believed. Now, given these two characteristics of human being, that is that they're religious. Humans are very religious, folks. I think you've learned that during your lifetime. And that they are carnal creatures. They are worldly minded. They think according to the bent of the human mind in their natural state. Taking these two characteristics, you can hand the human being a Bible, and if he reads some of it without the guidance of the Lord's understanding, he will usually come to the wrong conclusion about what he's read. If he doesn't come to the wrong conclusion, that man will end up being saved. Because, as I'm going to show you on down in the Scripture and in the Message, it's because God's done something for him, the reason he comes to an understanding of the Bible. But usually, when you give a natural man the Bible and say, read some of that and tell me what it means, they'll come to the wrong conclusion about it. And there are instances where that's not so, and that is if they've been brought up being taught what this and this and this means in the Bible, they may just regurgitate what they've been taught by their mother or daddy or both. But usually the case is they misinterpret. Now, as soon as that happens, a person who really believes what they have misinterpreted will usually come to the wrong conclusions at the same time that they'll find a reason to disagree with one of God's people who know the truth about that portion of the Word of God. And so we find that those who take the Bible in hand and use their carnal wisdom, if they have any, to read and understand, seem to understand the Bible, they'll disagree with you and me about what it means. Because they do not discern the things of the Spirit of God. The things that God really means in His Word about what He's saying are totally alien to this kind of person unless God enlightens their soul. Now, this disagreement between the believer and him who has gone to his own interpretation of Scripture is usually really a strong disagreement, so strong that the person will start comparing his view of Scripture to somebody else and trying to find support for how he believes. And the reason for this strong disagreement is because the saved person is able to understand the things that the Bible teaches. Mark that, because that is the distinctive difference between a born one of God and somebody who's just reading the Bible and thinks that they are learned enough to be able to understand what it says. The distinctive difference is that God reveals to His people what Scripture says, and the person who's lost, trying to be a religious person, doesn't have a clue. That's the difference. So the controversy starts, and the controversy continues as long as there's a saved person and an unsaved person that can come into contact with each other upon the face of this earth. As soon as the lost person came into contact with the saved person, they disagreed about how God was supposed to be worshipped in the offering time. I'm talking about Cain and Abel, as you obviously know. And they disagreed immediately about how God was to be worshipped in offerings. It led to a big problem and murder on Cain's part. Now, these two portions of Scripture that I've read to you teach us something else about human differences about the Bible. They teach us that people in error can be expected to try to make disciples out of others. They wrest the Scripture to fit what they view, and then they seduce or attempt to seduce others into believing what they believe and what they teach. So, they teach us that people in error then can be expected to try to make disciples out of others so that those disciples will believe what they believe and follow what they follow. John called this seduction, as I've already pointed out, and it truly is. There are millions of people, folks, around the world this morning that have been seduced into believing that things in the Bible are not what we as God's people say they are. There are all kinds of religious teachers and advocates of falsehood out here today in the so-called Christian world teaching that people ought to be believing falsehoods and holding it forth as a doctrine that comes straight from the Word of God when it is not. Now, when people are led into this error, they are in trouble indeed, because these errors taught by the seducers can never lead to salvation. And I want to warn us as God's people that this being led off into error can happen to true believers. I believe out there in false churches this morning, we've got a bunch of God's people that are blundering along trying to find more light, and they won't find any in those places where falsehood lives, where falsehood abounds, where falsehood is the dominant feature of the day. Now, it's important that we as God's people understand the truth, and that understanding that truth clearly enough that we not be led off into error. That's important. So we want to look at a few facts about the deceiver who may honestly, and believe me, they do, many of them honestly believe that they are teaching the truth. We want to take a look at them and look at the true believer and how he can avoid being sucked in by those who are literally sold on what they believe and have convincing arguments to present to you. Why do you think there are so many denominations in the world today, so-called Christian denominations? It's because there have been some astute scholars that have believed falsehood and have twisted Scripture unto their own destruction and to the destruction of others. And so that's what we see today. So we want to look at a few facts and see what the Bible honestly teaches. And as we look, I hope we'll be able to see the reason for the title of this sermon as we examine the facts. Resonance. Let me just say, by giving away my thunder right at the start, is that you as saved people of God, if you're truly saved by the grace of God, the truth of God resonates with your soul. And I'll say that again more than once through the sermon perhaps. So let's look at these verses and let's think about what I've said so far. First of all, looking back at Brother Peter's writings, you notice that he says again, and I'll reread it, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. In this phrase, we learn and understand the plain fact that some Bible truths, as I said at the beginning, are hard to understand. They just are. There's no doubt whatsoever about it. And this is the great conundrum that we, as God's people, have to deal with. The fact that when we read our Bible, if we read enough chapters, there's going to be something in one of those chapters, in one of those verses, that will be difficult to understand. We'll scratch our heads and wonder what in the world that means. And we may go a long time without ever understanding what it means. But God helping us, by little and by little, we'll leap the threshold of understanding, and we'll get to the place where we understand first that one we didn't know last year, maybe one we didn't know last week, and so on. We'll grow in grace and knowledge of the truth and come to a fuller understanding of what God means. But it takes study, folks. It really does. And that's why we exhort you to be a studious believer of the Bible. Now, let me just give you some encouragement about this fact that Bible truths, some of them are hard to be understood. I want this to be comforting to you because, and at least helpful toward each one of us as we try to understand ourselves about our own thick-headedness and trying to understand what God's saying. Let it comfort you that here we have one of the knowledgeable apostles of God writing to us and saying, some of Paul's writings are hard to be understood. This brother Peter lived years serving the Lord, walked with Christ, heard all of his teachings, went through all those experiences, and now years down the road, after he's been a servant of the Lord for years and talked with the Lord and known the truth of God and studied how things are, he says, some brother Paul's sayings are hard to be understood. That ought to be a comfort to us that this old seasoned apostle had to go ahead and fess up and say for him too, it's hard to be understood. So don't beat yourself up, brothers and sisters, if you don't understand everything you read. Don't beat yourself up just because something today is unclear to you, that you're confused about what it may mean. There's not a one of us in this room, nor one of God's people across the earth, that if they're truthful with themselves and with you, will not have to say, yeah, I know, there's stuff I don't understand in the Bible too. There's not a one of us that don't have to admit that, because it's true. Now, we also want this to be a warning to all of us, this great truth that Peter wrote. The warning ought to cause us to be very diligent in studying the Bible and very careful, listen to me, careful in arriving at conclusions about Scripture that we can come to, the conclusions that we can come to by our own manner of thinking if we're not careful to call upon God and to seek His revealing power to show us what those difficult to understand Scriptures really mean. In fact, this point right here is exactly where men have digressed off into heresy and organized false religions out of, coming to the wrong conclusion about what Scripture means, and not doing a thorough study and bringing together all parts of the Word of God to measure what something might mean. Conclusions about Bible teaching without being given an understanding from the Lord about them can sometimes be so far afield that you'd think they're from another planet. I mean, all you got to do is look around you at the different way that different so-called Christian denominations believe today about Scriptures, that some Scriptures that are plain and black and white, they've gone so far afield that you say, how could they have gotten to there with that? Now that's because they twisted the Scriptures for other uses, heresy, and to their own destruction. Now, so people can really get far afield in their interpretation of what those difficult verses or even easy verses really mean. Now this is best illustrated by the fact, folks, that in the world today, there are over 41,000 different so-called Christian denominations. Think about that. We know that at least 41,000 influential people have come to the wrong conclusion about Scripture and have wandered off to form another denomination other than from the Lord's church. That's what we know. And it's a great illustration of how far afield they can go. I mean, if you could say, well, there's 4, 5, or 10 different denominations, Christian denominations, you'd say, well, men disagree about certain doctrines. And you could almost excuse 5 or 10 different denominations, but 41,000 different viewpoints, critical viewpoints on Scripture? What is that? They shall rest as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Now folks, among those 41,000, there's a whole slew of folks, a whole slew of so-called churches, a whole slew of teaching that teaches that which is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say, wow, how do you say that? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true gospel, must teach that salvation is through Christ and Christ alone, nothing added to it, nothing taken from it, that it is Christ's total work, that He did all the work, that He did all of the approach to man, and that He calls men by His power out of darkness into light, and men do nothing as dead folks until God quickens them. That's the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He died and rose again, that God might deal a powerful, life-giving force to the soul who's called out of darkness into light. Now, if the gospel, if the so-called gospel that's preached by these, a big portion of these 40-odd thousand denominations, if it is not that gospel, then we know that it is a false gospel. And folks, listen to me carefully. Listen to me. A false gospel will send men to hell. And we must understand that as God's people. So we find that it's a very sad thing when men wrest the Scripture of God into a twisted shape and to their own destruction. This ability and propensity of humankind to twist Scripture, to change the teaching of the Bible according to their own brilliant minds is further illustrated by looking at how natural human beings lack sufficient understanding. And you might say, what do you mean by that? Well, if I can demonstrate that human beings in their natural state lack sufficient understanding to come to the right conclusion about anything that God doesn't reveal to them, I think it's a good illustration of the fact that men left alone to study Scripture to try to practice religion will go off the deep end and formulate opinions that are just absolutely wrong. And here's some illustrations of how man in his best form thinks wrong. There was a bunch of supposedly brilliant people, scientists, that once concluded that the world was flat. And they got the idea that the world was flat by looking at scientific evidence, so they called it. They were looking at what they knew about the earth based on the knowledge and brain capacity and understanding that they had at the time. And they made a round world flat. Does that not illustrate how far backward man really is in relation to the knowledge of the things of God? God knew when He created the world it was round. He made it round. But man in his brilliant thinking, with his multitude of scientists, thinking about what the world must be, decides that the world has to be flat. And if you sail a ship far enough to the east or the west, you'll drive off a big cliff, a big waterfall, and be gone. Folks, help me here. That's human nature. That's human beings thinking. And I want to tell you something, folks. There are people today thinking about technological stuff, for instance, what's going on out there in the universe. And they've come up with these wild ideas about how things really are out there, and they don't have a clue. And it's worse in the spiritual world, when brilliant minds of men, using their own intellectual power, begin thinking about God means this with that. They don't know what God means without the leadership of the Spirit. If they have not the Spirit, they'll come to the wrong conclusions. In the 1940s, I'll show you another example of how brilliant human minds are when they're left to their own devices. In the 1940s, the world of computers had just begun to come to life. And there were the most brilliant minds of the age were brought together to think about building a computer and building a language for computers. You know, 11100101111 binary. And in this brainstorming process, these scientists, after studying for years about what they could do and what they could build in the way of a computer, they came to the conclusion that they could only build a computer that could only do about 714 different tasks at one time, and that they could actually, that computer could only store, listen to this, about 1,000 words, and then its memory was full. And that computer filled the room, by the way. Today, we find that you can take one of those little 2 gigabyte RAM chips that you've got in your computer, and almost anybody here that's got a computer has at least a 2 gigabyte RAM in it. That little RAM chip can store approximately 300 million words, and it can store 2 billion characters, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on. And this is how far off our 1940 brilliant brothers were from what a computer was capable of doing. They were working with the knowledge that they had, the understanding that they had. Today, our computers, that little desktop at your house, that little laptop you carry in your briefcase, those computers can do hundreds of thousands of operations per second, not just 714 operations per second. That if there's anything that illustrates how human beings not only misinterpret what things are and how they're done and the extent of things, but it also shows how the minds of human beings can grow technologically and in a natural way. How that the mind, the knowledge of humanity can grow from the big room full of a computer, one computer big as a room, to one you can hold in your hand. There's no telling how many. I'm guessing that your cell phone today can hold more data and can do more tasks at once than that big computer of the 1940s. That men have figured it out. And it's the same story with the Word of God. If you have the key, but if you don't have the key, men who don't have the key wrest the Scriptures of God, twist it out of shape, and that to their own destruction. The false teacher and the person that believes false teaching follows the path of error because they are without knowledge. They are ignorant of the things of God. Always keep that in mind. When you hear somebody come out with some wild doctrine, I don't care if it's your brother or your sister, your mother, or your daddy. If they come out with some wild statement about the Bible, it's your duty to gently remind them of what the real truth of the Bible is. But don't be shocked. They're speaking from the carnal mind. If they're lost and they don't know, they're ignorant of the truths of God, and they'll stay unlearned, as Brother John says it. They'll stay unlearned as these lost people spoken of by Peter and John. And they won't learn any other way but by God's revelation. Now, let me just Paul's right here to warn everybody that believers can be in almost as bad a condition as these people are by simply refusing to study the Word of God. The only thing that you won't have is a twisting of Scripture to your own destruction, but I'll tell you what you can have, a twisting of Scriptures so that you're around believing and teaching falsehood. You can have that. Studying the Scriptures is essential to your understanding, and I have never been able to do one single task in my life without either reading instructions or studying the task until I understood how it worked. And you haven't been able to either. And that's the way it is in the spiritual world. If you want to understand the Bible, you have to study the Bible. Now, to imagine that we can get knowledge from God otherwise is foolhardy. Now the worst condition a human can be in is to think himself educated and able to understand the Bible and at the same time be without the new birth. That's as bad a condition as a person can be in. The heathen out there in the wild lands is in better spiritual shape than the man who thinks he's educated enough to understand the Bible and does not have the new birth. He's making presumptions that he cannot feel. It's like imagining that you can swim and then jumping overboard from a ship out in the middle of the ocean. Imagine that if you were just imagining, what would be your end? It's like thinking that you're commanded and empowered by the Lord to be a snake handler in a religious service and then reaching down in a cage or a box and picking up a canebrake rattler and holding it up in your hands. It's just about like that, folks. Because when men handle the Word of God without knowledge from God, they're handling a big old rattlesnake that's going to bite and poison. Not the Word of God that does the poisoning. It's their own souls that are poisoned by the bite of their own pride and arrogance, thinking that they know the Word of God. Now, there's nobody that's quite as lost in a sea of darkness and error as a person that knows a lot of Bible, and at the same time, they have no way of correlating what they know with the pattern of God's truth. You've heard of walking Bibles, men who could quote, spit out book, chapter, and verse anywhere in the Bible. Well, that's a great thing if a person's saved. But a person like that that's lost, that can spit out book, chapter, and verse anywhere out of the Bible, they're in a sea of darkness. They're walking in darkness with their head full of words that have the potential to have the power of light in them. And listen to me. There's a bunch of PhDs and DDs walking around our planet today, and I'm not just pointing them out as being the only ones, but they are supposedly the learned elite from our seminaries. There's a bunch of them walking around today that have not the Spirit of God. They don't have a knowledge of the truth of God's Word, and they have wrested the Scripture of God to their own destruction. There's nobody that's more prone to error than somebody who's gathered a lot of Bible facts up in their head and Bible trivia, but has never had their soul and their mind captured by the Lord God of grace. Nobody that is more prone to error than that person. And they have error abundantly. Solomon warns us in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, with all thy getting, might I paraphrase that to say, with all your memorization of Bible verses, with all thy getting, get understanding. I believe there's a lot of people in the world today, folks, that have a whole lot of Bible in their heads. They've been to the best seminaries, maybe. They've studied endlessly. They've passed endless tests. They got a lot of Bible in their heads, and they can tell you Bible verses from all over the Bible, but they lack understanding. Why do I say that? Well, you just mark it down. If they do not have the new birth. If they are not possessed of the Spirit of God that comes with the new birth, they are full of error and will continue to be full of error. They're like a soldier that knows where every minefield is at that his enemy has planted out there in the terrain that he has to cross. Knows where all the minefields are, but doesn't know where any of the mines are in the minefield. And yet tries to cross each one of those minefields anyway. The soldier has all that knowledge about the minefields. Yeah, there's one over there, and there's one over there, and there's one 500 yards up yonder, and there's one 200 yards over there. Where are the minefields, soldier? There, 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 and there. Where are the mines, soldier? Don't know. But I'm going to go across there anyway. Human beings having heads full of memorized Bible without an understanding of the movement of the God of the Bible are without understanding. We're out of time. We'll pick up here on this subject of resonance this evening, Lord willing, and we'll look at understanding the form that these erroneous teachings and these erroneous beliefs take among those who twist Scripture out of shape. We'll look at that as one thought this evening. We'll look at the thought of what does this all mean to the true believer? And we'll take a look at how this writing, these writings of Peter and John can become valuable to you in your daily life serving the Lord and in your understanding of the Scripture of God. Lord willing, we'll pick up at that point this evening.